So no further confirmed cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. 336 cases, 24 people waiting for a test, 22 of whom are part of the extended testing regime, 6 active cases, 4 in the community and 2 in the hospital at Nobles. Everything seems to be going the right way. We'll hear more on the government media conference today at 4 o'clock with David Ashford, MHK, and the consultant geriatrician, Dr. Duncan Cherry, will be on at 4 o'clock live on Manx Radio. In the meantime, it's a very good afternoon to Mr. Alfred Cannon, MHK Treasury Minister. Good afternoon, Mr. Cannon.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Well, things seem to be going well clinically at the moment. What's the direction of travel within Treasury?
Well, as you say, things are going well clinically. 6 days, no cases, 6 active cases at the moment. That's really pleasing to see how well that is progressing. And we are progressing with getting the economy back on its feet. Businesses are getting back to work now. We've still got some way to go. But it's pleasing to note the amount of activity that appears to be happening around our streets and in our on our construction sites. And we will, you know, as things push on, we will begin to develop a much clearer picture of where we are with our economic returns and in terms of our unemployment levels. We've seen a slight decrease in the numbers on job seekers by about 29 people since the peak three or so weeks ago. Obviously, you know, as the retail sector now engages more and more shops start to open, hopefully that number will start to decrease. Although we haven't seen a lot of decline from those who went on to the Manx Earnings Replacement Allowance. The figures there are still pretty high. So still some weeks to go, but generally I'm pleased to see the businesses getting back to work now. And, you know, it'll be a question of keeping on top of that, hopefully maintaining control with the health policies and ensuring that the virus remains under control and getting more businesses back to work.
Okay, if you want to talk to Mr. Cannon, call 66 13 68. You can email studio@manxradio.com or you can text 166177. We've also got some messages from the answer phone as well.
I wondered if you would ask the Treasury Minister whether he's going to pay the £100 million that he's taken out of the old age pension fund. Thank you very much.
Hello, Mr. Cannon.
Sorry, Andy, you want me to come straight in on that?
If you would, yes.
Sorry, well, I didn't catch a name there, but essentially what we are going to do is we are considering and looking at £250 million of a syndicated loan facility from local banks. We will announce full details in fairly short order. And obviously that sort of borrowing does need Tim Ward approval. But I think the idea is that we will compensate for this type of cost from borrowing rather than cashing it in, if you like, from our assets. It makes more sense at the current time, given that borrowing is potentially extremely cheap, for us to do it that way rather than potentially draw on assets that are undervalued. And, of course, nobody wants us to see us eat in unnecessarily into the National Insurance Fund. We're well aware that the National Insurance Fund is there for the state pensions. It's very, very much our crown jewels when it comes to our reserve assets. And we will be taking every step necessary to make sure that we take the most sensible decision in the circumstances. And clearly protecting our reserves is foremost at the front of my mind and of the Treasury's mind.
Okay, this is another one from the answer phone. There's no name on this. It's a fairly involved one. And it concerns...
Good afternoon, Mr. Cannon. I think it's time to bring the cost of the Isle of Man government down. The times of austerity do not appear to have reached the various departments of government, who continue to purchase new vehicles, ranging from buses of all sizes, police cars, etc., etc. The number of new vehicles appearing on the roads during the last 2 or 3 months would suggest that all the departments had overspends on their capital budgets for year 2019-20. So it was let's spend it, has always apparently been the case. May I suggest that the purchase of vehicles is drastically reduced for the next couple of years, and buses of all sizes completely banned for 5 years. I think we've got enough buses on that Lord Street bus station. It must be the most unused, newest bus fleet in the world. Those suggestions alone would, I suggest, save many millions of pounds. Just as an aside, can you explain why I have to pay a churchyard fee of 15p in the pound? Or is this simply just another secret earner, little realised by the general public for the Isle of Man government?
Well, thank you very much for that question. I'll deal with your last point first. There's no secret earner with the churchyard rates. That goes entirely for the purpose that it's stipulated for. And broadly speaking, we will be bringing forward a budget update in July, which will clearly set out the position that we regard the public finances to be in following and during this pandemic. It will also, I hope, set out what our economic vision and plan is for the future and what we are going to do as a government to stimulate the economy and help the island recognize any of the opportunities that exist from the pandemic, and also look to help businesses and entrepreneurs either change business models or, again, take forward new opportunities that they see existing. And clearly, as part of any budget statement, we will have to recognise where departments are from their projected budget targets, both from their expenditure perspective and from the income. And we'll be setting out any necessary measures that may need to be brought in, or at least outlining how we will cope with any over expenditure as a result of the pandemic. So we will bring that all together into the budget statement in July, and we will recognise what we need to do as a from a financial perspective to take us through this. One of the, you mentioned the austerity measures. I mean, it's clear for me as a Treasury Minister and as a politician now, having been in for 9 years, when I came in 2011, we were coming directly in on the back of a very significant economic crash. And, you know, the period from 2011 to 2016-17 has been particularly hard for a number of families. I want to make it clear that, you know, my view is that we shouldn't regress. Public spending does play an important part in our overall economic balance. It's important that the finances are directed into the right areas, that we are delivering the right public services. And of course, when you get down to the specifics of buses and cars and vehicles, yeah, you're right. You clearly need to pay very, very close attention to that. And you also need to pay very close attention to the size of the public sector as well. So we're factoring all that in. We will take some of that into consideration in the budget statement in July. We will outline a proper economic vision and plan as to what we need to do to stimulate the economy, to take things forward, to keep our public services on track, but also to ensure that we're giving businesses, business leaders and the private sector the best opportunity as well to stimulate jobs, stimulate activity, and to keep the island, or to get the island back to the positive position that it was just before this pandemic broke.
Okay, Pete, you're live with the Minister.
Okay, thank you. Is that Andy, is it?
You're live on the air, Pete. What's your point?
The point is it's confusing this furlough scheme that you had. You know, we're a limited company with 2 employees. And we had to go locked down for 3 months, as you know. Now, does that... We're supposed to go back into work on next week, on the Monday. But we're finding that a lot of the clients don't want you around their houses, and it's going to take a while to build the business back up to be viable. Is there still a furlough assistance, or, you know, where do we stand sort of thing?
Well, thank you, Pete. I guess from what you're saying... you're asking about the support schemes. I made the announcement last week that the support schemes, the salary support scheme and the MERA, which is the earnings replacement allowance, would now continue until August. We simply didn't have the data to start closing those schemes down, and also believe that a number of businesses coming back will need additional support whilst they regain lost ground and start to recover their inflows, their balance sheets and the profit and loss and their revenue streams. So the support schemes stay in place. So if you are claiming salary support, providing your business remains impacted by coronavirus, you can still claim salary support until the end of August at the latest. And clearly in that period, we'll make an announcement as to what specifically we will offer in the future.
Yeah. Well, can we start go back to work, trying to build the business back up? Are we still able to work and claim the furlough?
Sorry, are you still able to work?
And claim the furlough, he said.
Oh, yes. Yes, the salary support is there. It's not. It wasn't designed just purely as a furlough. It was designed to ensure companies could support individuals if they were furloughed, but also give support to staff even if they were working as well. In other words, it was trying to bridge the shortfall between income levels decreasing and the need to keep staff employed, engaged with the businesses. So the answer to that is, Pete, if you're claiming salary support now, you can continue to do so whilst you get back to work. If you're on MERA, which is the earnings replacement allowance, you get 14 days additional support after you return to work to claim the other £200 per week that you would be getting at the moment.
Well, we're not on the mirror, we're on the salary support, like I said.
You can carry on, Pete. The objective of that is to help you get back to work, help your company and your business recover.
Right, that's fine. And thanks a lot for all your help as well. It's been really good help, all the schemes you've had.
Well, that's great to hear, Pete. Okay. Thank you very much.
That's great. Thanks, Pete. Let's go to Steve. Stephen now. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, good afternoon, Minister, and good afternoon, listeners. Minister, my question to you is this. Are you absolutely sure that you have gave the hospital and associated healthcare enough money and resources to make sure that they have enough wards, staff and equipment to be able to cope with any possible spike in infections?
Well, the answer to that is, Stephen, right at the very beginning of this pandemic, I made an absolute commitment to say that the health service would get whatever it needed to deal with the pandemic. Now, clearly within that, a number of decisions have had to be taken by the health minister and his executive team as to how they facilitate the potential needs of such a pandemic in terms of the ward space, the beds, the personal protective equipment needed. I can tell you that throughout the last few weeks, we have given them almost without question anything that they have needed financially for support purposes, particularly around the big issue, which was around personal protective equipment. And to their credit, very early on in the crisis, the team there at the health department decided that they needed to get outbreak out from the NHS supply line, go and source their own PPE, and that was done with full Treasury support. So, yes, I'm entirely satisfied that the Treasury has acted to support in every way possible within the framework that we have on the island, the health service to tackle this crisis. And now the position that we're in really is that we have the bed space, we have the capability to deal with any spikes, we have the virus under control and suppressed, and we're in as good a position as we could be to deal now with any immediate spike in the coronavirus.
Okay, Stephen, thanks for that. Mr. Cannon, I just wonder, you mentioned the budget. When will you be announcing your budget?
That will be at July's Timwald.
Okay, and
that'll be mid-July.
Okay, presumably, of course, that things are moving all the time, but the direction of travel, how are you feeling about the budget?
Well, it will be a budget statement, Andy, so it's important, and I clarify, it's not going to be a full budget. It will be a statement in regards to the government's position. It will be a statement with regards to our estimated projections for the year. And it will be a statement and a firm and positive commitment about what and how we are going to support the economy moving forward. So that would be an essential part of this budgetary statement. And we need to take forward as quickly as possible positive economic measures, positive signals that we are going to support our businesses through this crisis, help them get back on their feet, and look for the maximum possible opportunity to maximize those businesses, or allow those businesses the ability to develop, if necessary, change their business models. But more broadly, also recognize, I think, the opportunities that exist for us on the island and what we need to do on the back of this virus. And so, for example, we'll be looking at, first of all, the delivering the right vision. But, for example, we're clearly that we need to enhance our IT, our broadband facilities, our fiber facilities on the island. The Minister for TFE announced that Manx Telecom had been tasked with delivering high-speed fiber across the island. We're looking at how we can best support that now from a Treasury perspective. And we will be looking at other measures that we can bring forward financially to provide businesses and the economy with the support it requires.
Okay, I just wonder if you could indicate how important the hospitality sector is to Treasury and to the island broadly as well, because somebody's asking about repurposing road space in locations like Victoria Street and North Quay in Douglas, Parliament Street in Ramsey, to allow the hospitality industry more space for customers and social distancing. I just noted that I think it's today in Liverpool, the mayor in Liverpool is offering grants to cafes and bars and restaurants to allow the sector to move outside. They've put £500,000 to one side to help businesses buy furniture and heaters and barriers and umbrellas and what have you to pedestrianise streets and get the hospitality sector moving again.
Well, I fully endorse those sorts of measures. They are discussions that are happening behind the scenes at the moment. I know it's particularly the Department for Enterprise is closely engaged with the agency boards that it has to understand what is required for the particular sectors. Here in Treasury, alongside DfE, we're working on a piece of economic analysis this week to really understand the full impact. That's going to contribute more broadly to our economic plan. But yes, sector by sector, we need to be working to maximize the opportunities right now. I think it's safe to say this is very much a subject of active discussion in terms of how can we facilitate when they reopen those businesses, particularly in our pubs, hospitality, restaurants, leisure businesses, where we can try and cut through red tape, give them the best chance of success, and give, I guess, people also the opportunity to support these businesses in a safe and secure environment. So really supportive of those kind of measures. Those discussions are taking place, and I very much hope that we too can produce our own policies around the type that you just described from Liverpool.
And obviously where the hospitality sector is concerned, this impacts on everybody having a good time. It just seems that we haven't had a good time or not been permitted to do this because of very good reasons. But, you know, just things like weddings. Nobody's been to a proper wedding for ages and ages and ages. And I just wonder how important, I mean, in financial terms, is the hospitality sector important to the Isle of Man?
It's a very important. It's not only just important, financially for the island, providing jobs and opportunities, but it also, plays an important. It's a part of an asset in terms of our social fabric as well. People love living on the island, and businesses and want to develop and stay here, but partly because of the total package of offering we as an island bring. So, yeah, they very important part of our society. Clearly, it's been a sector that's been under a lot of pressure, particularly when you think of pubs. And it's an ever-changing environment, people coming up with new ideas for hospitality. But we want to continue to support it. I would like to see it develop. We clearly need There's a clear recognition that this particular element of industry needs mechanisms to be given every opportunity to recoup some of the losses that they will have incurred over the last 10, 12 weeks. And I very much hope that sooner rather than later, first of all, we'll be announcing at some point their return to business. Secondly, how they do that within the rules and framework. And clearly, that a lot of that also comes down to the industry itself. And as I said, DfE are liaising closely with the agency boards around that. And then thirdly, the government cutting through any red tape to make sure that we give them the best opportunity to maximise their entrepreneurial spirit and allow the community to engage with those businesses in a safe and secure way.
26 minutes past 12. Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon, MHK, is with us live through to one. If you have a question to put, you can text, you can email, or you can call 66 13 68.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
And Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon, MHK, is with us live through to one. And David, you're live on the air.
Andy, can I ask Alf why you, me and all the other people on the island are being told to buy local, obviously to help the economy, which is quite right, when a large building company like Dandara are importing most of their materials?
David, good afternoon. Thank you for your question. Well, obviously, I don't know the specifics of every individual company. Obviously, Dandara are a large local employer on the island. They do make a significant contribution to public revenues and obviously jobs and employment on the island. So we're very grateful for that particular business and other businesses similarly. I would hope that all our businesses on the island have taken the opportunity of the pandemic to look at their purchasing policy. It's in everybody's mutual interest to buy locally. And of course, you know, in doing so, in making those sorts of commitments, obviously local suppliers have got to ensure that their products are priced competitively as well. And, you know, it is a very competitive world that we live in, particularly with the ability to now access goods and services very easily on the internet. So we do have to appreciate, and the result of that means that sometimes, you know, local suppliers find it difficult to compete from a cost perspective. So it is a question of balance, but really I would hope that all companies have taken the opportunity and the lessons from the pandemic to realize how much we all do rely on each other on this on the island, and to try and utilize those lessons and try and purchase their equipment through local suppliers.
Would you, David, would you pay more for something that was sourced on the Isle of Man than a cheaper product from across?
I think, Andy, if you're a company like Dandara and you go to the building company and speak with them, knowing what the building company or the builder's merchant are going to get, I would think that they would bend over backwards to accommodate Dandara.
All right, David, good to talk to you. Thanks for calling us in today. And Chris, you're live on the air with the Minister.
Hello, Minister. I know of four surveys that's been done in the past, one in 2006, one by the newspapers, and two just recently by Manx Radio. And in all cases, the majority of the people would like to retain the national speed limit at what it was, not the 40 limit. We had the Chief Minister on today claiming that accidents are down 80% because of the 40 limit. But what he failed to say was that people were asked to only do essential journeys when the COVID-19 started, and 75% of the people, you know, cut down their journeys tremendously, which was great. But my thoughts are, if we do have a speed limit, it'll destroy the TT and it'll destroy the Manx Grand Prix. Are you concerned about the budget, you know, the money that would come to the island because of them two major events getting destroyed by a speed limit?
Well, thanks very much, Chris. Well, clearly, the island's had an opportunity over the last 8 weeks or so to observe and adjust to an all-island speed limit. And many people, as a result of that, have formulated an opinion. It's not, at the moment, a subject of discussion for council ministers, but clearly, as we exit the emergency, and at some point government has to get out of the emergency situation, and in other words, the use of the emergency powers, and to try and regularise the way the island is being governed in terms of its accountability and scrutiny and the process of legislation through Timor. Well, at some point, this is going to become an issue, because either as part of a continuation strategy, we continue with an all-island speed limit, or we just simply revert and then leave that subject open to further deliberations. Of course, as a Treasury, we take very firm interest on anything that may impact on government revenues, but also, you know, this is a far bigger political, broader issue than the Treasury, who would be inclined to adapt to whatever decision, whatever political decision was made. I'm not sure that any future national speed limit would signal the end of the TT. It's quite a big statement to make, but at the moment, it's not a debate that council are having, although one accepts that, you know, moving forward in the near future, the government will have to make a decision as to whether or not it continues with the national, proposes a national speed limit as part of a strategy, a continuation strategy, if you like, when exiting from this specific emergency.
Do you think that the government would go against the majority of the people then?
I don't think government would go against the majority of the people. I think something like this clearly needs a national discussion. That would be a matter for the political representatives, and clearly it's a controversial matter, and there would have to be a public debate about anything of that nature. I can see a position whereby we would want to ensure that, whilst there's a likelihood that coronavirus is potentially there to impact us and affect us, that the government will want to, and a position that I would support, is to make sure that we are not pushing ourselves into a position whereby, you know, we are damaging our potential to act and react to that. So I think we've always taken the view that we need to take baby steps, or the health minister certainly use the word baby steps. I think that we need to be very measured about the steps that we are taking. The first priority for us is to obviously ensure the protection of life, which we, I think, have done relatively successfully to date. We've suppressed the virus. The next step for us is to get people back to work, to get the economy moving. And then we've obviously got to phase our way out of this emergency. So, you know, this clearly will be a controversial issue, will need consideration. And, of course, you must remember that the reason why it was brought in was to protect the NHS.
Yeah, thank you very much, Minister.
Okay, Chris, thanks for that. And now, Mr. Cannon, you're issuing a household impact survey. Is that what it's called? What's that all about?
Yeah, so there's actually two surveys running at the moment. And I hope very much, Andy, that I didn't see it on your website, but I very much hope you might publish the link afterwards. There's the household impact survey. So we're seeking to understand how the virus has influenced life on the island, including current future spending plans for households, what the employment situation looks like or how people are feeling about that, and what their long-term sort of household finance picture is looking like. It's a confidential survey. It's helping us build the picture in terms of, as I said, what we need to do to push things forward, where so we can understand better where the impacts are. And also alongside that, there's a business survey as well. And again, similarly, that information has been collected in terms of the broader economy and what business plans are. And this will help provide us the platform and the understanding to react properly and to provide the leadership necessary to get the island moving again and to ensure that we're focusing our spending, particularly our spending around the economy in the right areas to stimulate as much as we can in terms of jobs and job opportunities.
Are you taking the data as it comes, or is that running for a specific time, both the business survey and the household impact survey?
Yeah, they're only up for a limited period. We've actually, since we publicised these yesterday, we've already had a significant response to both. So they'll be running for the rest of this week. We're having to move quickly. Andy, these are not things that we can sit and dwell on for months on end. We need to take the data, analyse it, get the results, understand what it's saying to us as much as we can, you know, and then start to bring forward these actions. You know, there's two reasons for that. You know, the longer we delay, then potentially the worse any scarring, I think the Chancellor in the UK used is the word, but any hangover from this virus will be, and we don't want things to become ingrained on the island. But also, you know, other competitors around us are starting to move, announce where their spending's going to be, what spending they're going to bring forward to reinforce the support for jobs and future opportunities, and we need to be up with that sort of pace of life as well. So this will all feed into the July statement and hopefully a delivery of an economic vision that will take us forward as an island.
Okay, how long do they take to fill out, by the way? They're not pages and pages, are they?
10 minutes, we estimate, for the household impact survey. There is there's a few questions in there. It'll take no more than 10 minutes, but it's really useful information. And the business survey will take about 15 minutes, we think, for those businesses that are completing it.
Okay, Peter, you're live with Alfred Cannon, MHK.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cannon and Manx Radio presenter. I was a bit gutted today. I'm a biker, and a fellow bikers were organising a fundraising ride round the course, excuse me, and it's apparently the police have objected to it for various reasons, which I don't agree. Now, the ride out was going to raise money for the hyperbaric chamber, which people seem to have forgot, and I think with the virus, and I'm not a medical person, but so you'd have to find out if would it help people with the virus. It does many lovely, good things other than, you know, diving and that. What about the Treasury, I was wondering? Aren't they going to support this wonderful hyperbaric chamber?
Well, I mean, you know, the hyperbaric chamber is a valuable asset for the community. You know, those sorts of spending plans would come in via the Department of Health and Social Care budget time. We would consider any allocation on that basis that would be supported by the Department of Health. So, but great that you're, you know, supportive of the hyperbaric chamber. Personally, I'm also, you know, big supporter. I can see it does bring benefits. But as I said, really, you know, my job, I would support spending in that respect on the back of a business case that was presented by the Department for Health and Social Care.
Is it true, Mr. Cannon, the tax deadline is only 2 weeks away? Is that right? I thought it was extended.
The tax, yeah, we did extend the deadline. Tax deadline would be for the annual returns, is it, for businesses?
Yeah, it was the 31st of March, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed, it was the 31st of March. That was the original deadline, and that has been extended to the 5th of June 2020.
So that's less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks away. So employers and contractors and companies, they should all take note now. We did extend that date. And of course, any individual who failed to submit their return for last year and were on notice to do so had until the 5th of June 2020 in order to avoid another penalty. So, yes, 2 weeks, 5th of June 2020 is a date for those who are due to submit their tax returns.
Every time you come on, Mr. Cannon, people are desperate to throw money at you. This is Anne who says, thanks to the ministers for their ongoing efforts in extraordinary times. Anne says, it's serious thought being given to a public bond where Manx residents can help the island's economy. I think many people would support a Manx public bond.
Anne, well, thank you very much for that. That is something that we are looking at the moment. We have a number of things to consider. There is, as I said slightly earlier in the programme, there is a business case to borrow at the moment to support the additional spending that we're incurring as a result of the crisis. Interest on borrowing is incredibly low. There's even talk of a negative rate in the for government borrowing at present. We are looking at examining that very closely. We need to understand, obviously, if we're going to take that sort of step, has to be have purpose and intent and be beneficial. And obviously, I want to make sure that anything we do doesn't leave a future generation with a debt hangover, but there's strong arguments to do so at the moment. We're evaluating those, and I hope in the next few weeks I'll be able to provide everybody with some clarity. Issuing that type of retail bond, we did have a look at it when we were looking at the steam packet, and you know, it is quite an expensive, or it was at that time, an expensive undertaking from an administrative perspective. But thank you for your question. Absolutely looking at it. Do recognise it would be beneficial from an island perspective if people had the chance to invest, if you like, in their own futures.
It's a quarter to one now.
This is the Isle of Man talking. Manx Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint. Furnished by Magic Carpets.
With Alfred Cannon, MHK, and you were talking, Minister, about the fact that it's cheap to borrow money at the moment. Here's a call from our answer phone.
Mr. Cannon, in the UK, you can get a bank loan at 2.5% with no arrangement fee. Here in the Isle of Man, the same bank is offering the same loan at 6.5% and a £230 arrangement fee. Why is the government allowing the banks to rip us off?
Well, thank you very much for your question. I wasn't aware of that discrepancy. Clearly, that's an individual bank's decision. What I would say is there are a lot of lenders on the island for a small market. There is lots of competition around, and I would be inclined to look and assess other options if that is the type of lending that you have been offered from your own bank. I think that we can't control specifically the bank's decisions around that type of lending. But clearly, you know, given the number of people in a small market, I think broadly speaking, most of our lending rates are pretty competitive.
Okay, thanks for that. Just a couple of follow-ups, Mr. Cannon. Somebody just jotted a note to say the oxygen plants from the hyperbaric chamber are on loan, sited at Nobles Hospital at the moment as well. Another note that just said a lady called about TV licences for the over 75. She said she's received one for just 3 months. She didn't know if that was... the government was going to continue paying the licence in the future, or what was happening. Is the Manx government going to continue to fund the over 75s licence?
For the immediate future, obviously subject to any decision by the BBC, Andy, that's the current position. And with regards to oxygen plant or cylinders, I understand there is some loan facilities at the hospital, but I think that's going to be regularised in terms of putting it into our full ownership as we move forward.
This is from a man called Charles, who said tax returns have now been sent out, but why no information included to notify people that they're entitled to claim for expenses while they've been working from home?
Well, we don't usually go into detail on these matters. I mean, most people can determine their individual tax circumstances. It would be not, if we go into that level of detail, I think for every single situation, it would become a pretty lengthy letter. But the reminders are sent out. It's up to an individual to take responsibility for their own tax affairs and to look into the options available to them.
Okay, a note came in from Jane, and she said, considering all the income streams, as it were, I think there's national insurance, income tax installments, VAT, and duty on various products, to tobacco, alcohol, and air passenger and what have you. She said, are you, I think the word, she's saying happy, but I mean, are you content now with the way that those income streams are going? And also, are you happier now than you were a month ago regarding those income streams?
I think we've still got a lot of work to do to realise where we are with income streams. There has been an impact, as we know, on customs and excise income. We deferred, I think the latest figures that I had, are almost £12 million of VAT income deferred to help assist businesses in that first initial month in April. Clearly, as we move forward, it will be interesting to see exactly how many businesses feel that they need to continue to defer VAT payments. Bear in mind, these are deferrals. They're there to try and help businesses with their cash flow, but of course need to be repaid in the future. We've still got another few weeks before I'm fully able to make that complete assessment. And again, you know, that will form definitively part of the budget statement in July.
Barry dropped me a note to say, could you ask the Treasury Minister, is there going to be a recession on the Isle of Man?
That will be, something for the economists to determine when we have a look at our GDP figures. We know there is a recession in the UK at the moment. In terms of any recession on the island, it's obviously that the depth of that will be the question. Yes, one would expect there to be formally recognised a recession. You know, the important thing for us is the impact on that on our fiscal returns and on jobs and employment. So those, we will pick up on that and determine that, as I said, in July, in terms of formally where we are, the depth of any problems we're facing. That picture is now being put together. Those surveys I talked about will help contribute to that, as will be the data that we're receiving from VAT and income tax returns, and also from actual receipts that are coming in. So we're still in the process of really getting a handle on that. But I still feel confident that the island's well placed to get through this, Andy. We've done well in the past when there's been recessions around us. We recognise it's been a very challenging period, but I think it's also important to recognise that our financial position is healthy. We've got a good reserves base. Yes, it's taken a small hit, as one would expect, from a decrease in market value, but we believe that will recover. I think we will be all the stronger for a positive economic strategy, a positive budget statement that really makes clear what we're going to do, you know, to support ourselves through this and to keep the island going and to keep people in work. And they're going to be the kind of key themes that we'll bring forward in July. Absolutely concerned for a lot of people out there, recognise that there are numbers, large numbers, who are concerned about the future. And as I said, we will encapsulate that and find a positive way forward.
Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon, thanks for being with us today. And thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane.